Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If. Only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
The Gossip Gaze. The Gossip Gaze. The Gossip Gaze.
Hi, I'm metrosexual Danny Beard.
And I'm heterosexual Billy Andrew.
And this week on the Gossip Gaze podcast, Billy's crawling out of Hetty hell.
Danny's calling it quits.
And one listener, well, they're taking us back to school. Hello and welcome to the Gossip Gaze podcast with me, Danny Beard.
And me, DJ Billy Andrew.
This podcast is two queers in your ears, talking all things from our community, sharing our wildest confessions, our hookup horrors. I don't know why I'm doing this, but it just kind of started and now I can't stop. And getting all the goss from you, our gorgeous listeners. And of course, we like to answer your questions. Anything from being kind to yourselves.
Always be kind to yourself.
Mm-hmm, or asking the big question.
How big you cock?
No, not that one. Not that one, Billy.
Okay.
But we'll be coming back to that later. How are you?
I'm all right. But I just got to do this little plug first.
Oh, so
you
on,
always
man.
Skip the plug.
I always, because it just is annoying. I'm like, right, we know what you're going to say. They tune in every week. If it's your first week, pretend it's like, we'll get used to it.
If you want to become a gossip goddess, get in touch, share your biddies confessions, your dirty dilemmas, your funny stories, or anything else, damn crazy or cuckoo. You can do that by WhatsApping us, text us, voice note, go wild. I'm praying for a voice note today. I don't know. I've actually not read the script.
I've not. I don't like to read the script. I like to take it bare.
Oh!
You know what I mean? Not that. That's the wrong terminology.
You like to, get the real emotion.
The genuine reaction.
The genuine reaction.
Yeah, I like to ice the script until it's ready to be looked
We've
at.
Actually iced conversations multiple times.
Yeah.
Even weeks on end sometimes because we want to chat.
Sorry if any Drag Race girls are listening because that is a Drag Race terminology that we brought
it.
Into this show. Ice.
Yeah.
Don't talk about that
Queens
until
on ice.
Camera.
DM us on Instagram at Gossip Gaze Pod. Oh, we've got a gorgeous, sexy form that you can fill in and that's in this episode's description. That's it.
I just was in with positivity, out with negativity as you said that.
Perfect. How are you, love?
It gives me the ick, that. Do you know what give people the ick off one of our social clips, which pissed me the fuck off?
You saying ick.
Saying home and bargain.
But I've seen that people online...
It is home and bargain.
It was a very Scouse thing, and when home bargains, now it's known as, started, it was called home and bargains in Liverpool. And it just stuck. Yeah. It's a very Scouse thing.
Yeah. So... Actually, we invented home and bargain, and if we want to fucking call it home and fucking bargain, we'll call it home and fucking bargain.
Absolutely, darling. Absolutely.
Anyway, we've passed our swear quota for the episode.
There we go, that's it. No more swear words today, love.
Well, you've got one this week and next week, which next week's our 250.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're swanning off.
To South Africa.
To South Africa.
Technically, I go tonight, because today's Thursday. So I go tonight. I'm
How
super
long's
excited.
The flight?
Well, we fly.
Did you wear my bet then?
I did.
Sorry,
I just ate
the coffee.
We fly to somewhere first and then we fly elsewhere to South Africa. So it's a big
Whoa,
gap.
Whoa, you've got a layover?
Layover, baby.
Where at?
I don't want to say publicly.
Why?
Because it's Dubai.
You can lay over in Dubai. You can't help crossing through it.
True. I mean, Dubai is a bit of a tricky...
Are we just going to pretend that... that Billy wasn't Sam. Like... Oh my God, I love Dubai, I'd go again. Like, on this podcast.
I know, I fucking bloom Dubai.
Don't pretend like you didn't.
I know, I hate, right? I hate everything that it stands for in terms of LGBTQ plus AI equality.
But you love them all.
But it's fucking gorgeous. So it's stunning there. I mean, I felt safer walking around Dubai than I do sometimes walking around Market Street in Manchester. Like, it was...
But that's you as a privileged tourist.
For
if
sure.
If you were gay and from there, you wouldn't.
Oh, I'd hate it. Of course. You'd feel... You'd be in fear for your life.
I'm saying it
from a tourist point of view, for sure.
I'm saying it from my fucking privilege, fucking first class flight. When I get off business, do I want to stretch my legs in Dubai? Yeah. Am I going to get back into a bunk and fall asleep and have a turn down service? Yeah.
No, you're not. But it did come from that sort of point of view. You are right.
Which is why you don't like Dubai, which is fine.
Which is why I don't like
it. I wouldn't personally
it.
Holiday there. Like, you've already said you wouldn't personally holiday there, but you were there on a cruise.
I was there on a cruise. I was there for work.
For context, in case anyone's not heard any other show and thinks
I've not gone for fucking 6 months in Dubai for laugh.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I was there working. So we stop off there. I'm only there for a couple of hours in the airport and then we fly to South Africa.
Where did I have a layover in?
Singapore, you went.
Singapore, Qatar. Or is that the airline?
Qatar. Qatar's the airline. You've stopped in Dubai, I think.
I've not stopped in Dubai. I think it was Qatar. They had the biggest Louis Vuitton shop I've ever seen.
Oh,
couldn't afford now in there.
Yeah. Very, very expensive over
very,
there.
Very, very expensive.
Everybody smells gorgeous. All the fragrances.
Oud.
They love the oud. I love the oud.
I love the oud.
I'm obsessed with oud.
I love oud and wood. But yeah, gorgeous. But they have old-fashioned smoking rooms.
Not for me.
In the layover. Now, if you're a vapor.
Not for me.
Which I'm trying to quit.
So you should. Popcorn lung.
I'm trying to quit. I did catch a little bit of Jordan North's vaping documentary.
Right.
And it was eye-opening. Scary.
Wow.
It was eye-opening, actually.
Yeah. All these chemicals, nobody knows what they do.
I know.
Yeah, it's bad, actually.
I didn't mean to laugh, but I am so addicted.
Well, if you don't laugh, you'll cry.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So you got a smile, darling.
I'm very addicted, and I never smoked.
You didn't ever smoke, and then all of a sudden, one day, you had a vape in your hand.
Yeah, because the psych said on Drag Race, get a vape, because vapers and smokers get a break from filming.
Ah,
I came back from Drag Race.
Addicted.
I went with a disposable vape. While I was there, one of the production got me a fucking proper vape and fluid.
Oh, right.
And I came back with a fucking track marks up my arm with elf bars hanging out of them.
Injecting vape liquid.
Yeah. fucking 5 to 10 double Red Bulls a day.
Wow. Actually, yeah, you had loads of Red Bulls
when
you were there.
I was like weaning myself off the Red Bulls.
You came back shaking. Mm-hmm. I remember.
Shaking
it's fab.
Like shitting dog.
Speaking of shitting dogs, Izzy's in the room, everybody, today.
Hello. Yeah, we've got an OG cast member on the couch. She's asleep.
Bless her. How was your Easter weekend?
Do you know what? It was really nice and chill. I did the whole, I'm going to not go out this weekend. I'm not going out. I'm not doing anything. And my friend Katie came up to see me with Liverpool. It's her granddaughter, but it's not her.
A granddaughter?
It's without getting into the ins and outs. It's her fella's kid's daughter.
Got you. Okay.
But.
Stepdaughter.
Step-grand.
If you will, yeah.
Step-kid.
Yeah.
I don't know, whatever. Cute. We had pizza night, went in. And then I went to a little party on Sunday night with my friends. Livs, our producer Livs.
Old producer Liv.
She's not old.
I mean, she's just old for the show.
She just looks it.
Yeah, she looks haggard.
She's working in telly still.
Bless her.
And that's it, really.
Tell you what, chilled
week.
I went from fucking South Africa to Blackpool. I went to Blackpool. It was fucking, it was minging. But we took my sister's kids to Sandcastle, which is like the water park there. Actually really fun.
What, in the rain? Did you take your kit off?
Indoor water park. It was like, they pumped the air so it's hot. It was like 30 degrees in there.
Oh, really?
Fab. Great day out. I mean, I was actually going on all the big rides and thought, actually, it'd be cool to come here with my mates, even though I'm 30.
Would we go?
Yeah. It's like, they've got adult rides. Like adult slides.
No.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'd be conscious going somewhere like that, like my tits jiggling down the slide.
It was Blackpool.
People are like, look at that one up there.
It was Blackpool. There was every shape and size you could imagine.
Really?
I mean, people with two teeth.
What, in the same water as you?
In the same water.
I'm thinking I'm all right. I'm really joking.
But you know what I did do afterwards, right?
What?
I went to a Wetherspoons.
I'm pissed off at you.
Right. Everybody in the room looked at me in disgust. It was actually nice.
No.
It was actually nice.
My boyfriend Kai loves the Wetherspoons and I won't go.
I was balking walking in. I was like, I can't do this. I was shaking. It was like I was going into the biggest hell you could ever imagine.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, and it was in there. The people in there, I don't like to mingle with. Personally, is that rude to say?
It's intimidating. Wetherspoons is like, you know, no matter what time of day or night it is in Wetherspoons, there's always someone
really
dodgy
pissed.
Men really pissed at the bar.
Always.
Glaring.
That, yeah, there were people like that there. People like that there.
That faggot there.
Loads
you
of
know,
families
grumbling
there.
Under the mat. I'm just like, I just don't need this energy.
But
sir.
The food was nice. I got fish and chips and it was dead nice. I'm not saying I'd go back.
Right. Well, now we're on the confessing to Wetherspoons.
Go on.
Just between us.
Where have you been?
I've been to Wetherspoons.
When?
When I was on the season 4 tour.
Right.
But that's because all the girls wanted to go. Let's all go to Wetherspoons over the road. And it's like a fair priced place, isn't
it?
It
is
for
a
whole
like
tour of different people to go to.
To be fair, we got
some of us are winners and some of us aren't. I was like, yeah, all right, I'll go. It was rough and hanging. And I got, what did I even get? I can't remember what I ate.
Was it nice?
The drinks were. I got like a big jug of like cheeky Vimto or something. I was like, woo, as I was leaving.
It's actually,
it's
all
right.
It's all right.
I think it's actually part of British culture and we just don't really know.
I wouldn't be going back with me gay mates.
Do you know why I hate it? Because over lockdown, what he did to them staff.
He was a bastard.
He made loads of money, got rid of all the... People were losing the homes that worked for him for 10 years.
For sure.
And I just don't like that kind of thing. And I think we shouldn't let things like that be forgotten.
I won't be returning, everybody, so just so you know, there we go.
I thought you made eye contact with the camera thinking this Wetherspoons chat was going to become a social clip.
You never know. Weirder things have happened on our social clips.
I'm
trust
still
me.
Not living the Froobin town.
Urban
Froobin.
Disgusting.
Vile.
Have you got to plug?
I've got now to plug. Well, come and see me on tour.
I was
going to
say, yeah, you're going
Straight
on tour.
Expectations. Liverpool's selling like hotcakes. London's West End, not so much.
Right, let's crack on. Well, we'll be back with your gossip after this very short break. But first, are you cuckoo for confessions, gaggy for the gossip, or turned on by tittle tattle? Then make sure you're spreading the gossip with your besties, fellow queens and allies, telling them to listen to us, the Gossip Gays.
Then make sure you're spreading the Gossip Gays with your besties, fellow queens, allies, and get them to listen to the Gossip Gays. Spread the love by spreading the podcast. Oh.
Sounding like Sam's mum.
I was going to say you sound like someone who goes Wetherspoons.
I thought I sounded like royal.
Royal?
No. I sounded like King Charles then.
Yeah, you did, actually.
That was my King Charles impression.
I'd go more Boris Johnson, but...
Fuck off!
The Gossip Gays.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
The Gossip Gays.
Welcome back, everybody, to Us the Gossip Gays.
Yes, that's who we are. That's who you're listening to.
Yeah.
We've got Sam here.
Hello.
What's your middle name, Sam?
I don't have one.
I've asked you this before.
I have a very short full name.
Which is what?
Sam Morris.
Oh, yeah, I knew that.
That's it. Not a Samuel. Just
Morris,
Sam.
What's that come from? What, you're from a long line of Morris dancers?
I actually do remember. I can't remember what it was. I remember seeing that once. Do you remember when you were in Morris dancers?
Do you remember when you were in primary school and you did your family crest?
Yeah.
Did you remember? What did yours look like?
Mine's three fish. Huh. Roach is a fish.
It's not.
Oh, by the way, yeah. Tax purposes, that isn't my last name. It's Andrew. Billy Andrew is my last name.
And the Andrew cross is just Britney.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
What was on yours? You'll quickly Google
just
it.
Oh,
I can't
like
remember
a,
mine. Can you tell
like
me what mine looks
lion?
Like? They've all got lions on, haven't they?
Yeah, I've got, there's a few here. I mean, Morris just means Maurice. So it's a bit
Maurice?
Boring one. Yeah, it's just a different name.
Oh, yeah, there's mine. Blue and yellow. Oh, I remember it now.
That's
with a
nice.
Knight on it.
Oh, yeah, they do all have lions on, don't they?
They all have lions on and knights and tigers and bears. Oh, my.
Well, that was
anyway,
fun. Should we do some gossip?
Yeah, let's talk about what people have asked us to talk about, because that's what they're really here for.
Mm-hmm. I'm ready.
Yeah, I'm ready, Sam.
We've been asking for your dirty confessions.
Dirty.
Your questions, your gossip, either your own stories or gossip you've heard third hand.
Make it up if you want.
Yeah.
I'm joking, what? Don't. Actually, no. No,
please
we do want,
don't make it up.
We do like an element of truth.
Well, the wilder the better and the more truthful
embellish.
The better.
I encourage embellishments.
She loves a rhinestone.
I love a rhinestone.
Rhinestone your stories, guys.
Yeah, rhinestone your stories.
So, right.
But je ne sais quoi.
Got three stories, then we'll decide a gossip goddess at the end.
Yep.
I've got the first one. This is from Bali.
Yeah, I know Bali.
Is this our Bali?
I don't want to out them, but I think so.
I love Bali.
Anyway, Bali says, "Hiya, Babs. Great podcast. Always making me cackle. Your advice is always spot on and always so funny, but real."
Thank you.
So I thought I'd put something to you, which I'm hoping you'll be able to inspire me with some advice, or at the very least, make me smile and feel okay. How do you teach yourself to speak kindly to yourself? As an aging mid-30-year-old who has struggled to find themselves and who is still navigating life and who they are, how can I be nicer in the way that I speak to myself? They say your own voice is the one you hear most, so you should speak positively to yourself. But I'm constantly putting myself down because it's all I know. And all I heard and believed growing up. I'm trying to convince myself I'm good at my work, that I belong in queer spaces which aren't designed for me, and I'm trying my best to tell myself I'm not past it despite pushing 40. What advice do you have to treat yourself with more respect and to be nicer to yourself? And do you have any similar experiences to share and how you overcame them? Love the pod and love you even if you leave this on red. Ha ha. Bali.
Oh, I don't know if it's the Bali that we're thinking of, actually, now.
Why?
I don't know. But I don't know how to get into this, because I know, Danny, personally, this is something that you struggle with, actually, if you don't mind me saying.
Call me out.
Sorry, but no, it is true. Yeah. I mean, we spoke about it on this podcast before. It's something I personally struggle with. Sam, you're in the business of trying to help people feel better about themselves, you might have the best advice.
Well, one thing I was thinking of is, I know that Barry said in here that
Sam's going to be like, one thing I was thinking of is, I have got two slots available. Yeah. One on a Wednesday at 2 p.m.
If you go to my website, you can buy a 4-week meal plan. No, so one thing I was thinking of is, like Barry said in this letter, that he feels like he doesn't belong in queer spaces and that they weren't designed for him, but I don't agree with that. I wouldn't say there's designated at ages for
can
queer
I just
spaces.
Pop in there though, I don't know, this could be an array of things. So for example, I used to feel like I didn't when I moved to Manchester, I was like, watch Queer as Folk, and I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna move to Manchester, I'm gonna meet a really hot older guy, he's gonna take me up to his amazing apartment that overlooks the city, and I'm gonna have a view of the city, and he's gonna rim me on the bed like Charlie Hunman.
Yeah,
you know that scene that we
iconic
all know
scene,
iconic
yeah.
scene
yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. And it weren't like that.
No,
I was not what gay people found attractive. I didn't fit in, and that's what you mean. That's what I get from this.
Right.
It could be body type. It could be even ethnicity. I've seen and heard my other friends feel like they don't fit in. For a long time in Manchester, Well, certainly when I was in uni, there was no POC people on posters.
No.
It could be in an array of different things, from body size or shape or ethnicity or anything, or how they look. I think that the gay community, we are fickle like that.
Very fickle. And it can sometimes feel very clicky as well.
Mm. Yeah.
Especially when you're not in a group of friends or feel like you can't. Like, you're allowed in that space, in quotation.
But then I've also been on the other side of it. I've just triggered a memory.
Yeah.
I remember somebody messaging me, and it wasn't that long ago. And I was sat in Cruise 101 in Manchester. Do you remember what you wanted me to say?
Yeah.
And was like, oh, I couldn't say hi to you because you're in Cruise 101 being judgy with your friends. And we were sat in a booth, sat up in the booth being judgy with your friends. And I was like, oh, sorry if that's how I came across. I was just literally having a laugh with my friends. So I think some people also get intimidated in those spaces. I'm not saying that's this person, and I know we've not got the context.
Yeah.
Although, saying that, there was a paper on this a few years ago that I read.
A paper on me and Cruise?
Yeah. and it's that there is like a theory behind it, and I think that it could be applied to what you were just saying. It could potentially be applied to what this listener is saying, but it's called intra-minority stress.
Oh.
And basically, the whole idea of it is that when you are part of a minority, in this case, like a queer minority, you do face sort of discrimination throughout your life, whether that was growing up or you are aware of it as you go older.
You always feel like an outsider.
You can't let go of it, kind of thing.
Mm. And it puts you on the defensive quite a lot.
Right.
And that has actually been thought of a reason as to why some minorities turn on each other, like in-group fighting kind of thing.
Right.
So this intra-minority stress is kind of used as an explanation as to why some gays are mean to each other, why some gays feel like they have to one-up each other.
Yeah.
Or on the flip side, why some gays feel like they're on the outside, or they feel on the defensive when actually nothing is being directed at them, because they've faced so much trauma in their lifetime, you're almost like waiting for it.
For sure. I feel like I can relate to being on all aspects of that
of
scenario.
That scenario, yeah.
Feeling a bit like an outsider, somebody feeling like I've been bitchy, and also maybe actually when I was younger and finding my clique, being a bit of a knob to other people within the community, when really that's not what I stand for now. But early 20s, possibly.
Mm. Own it, honey.
And I think you do see it more. I think you do see it more in younger people, the bitchy side of it. But again, I do think it's down to intra-minority stress, where it's this whole thing of like, you know, you've gone through school, being an outsider.
Yeah.
Now you're trying to make sure that you are not a victim.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why some gays are mean to each other.
Because
it's insecurity.
But back to the letter, how can we help this person be nicer to themselves?
Well, the reason...
Also, we weren't trying to gaslight that listener into saying,
oh, no.
It's all you.
You're the problem.
The clubs are fine.
Well, the reason I brought that up
is... You touchy bee.
The reason I brought that up is because I think it's something as queer people we should be aware of.
Yeah.
Just so that we can, be like, okay, this person is being mean to me or being a bit bitchy, a bit clicky. This actually might be why. Is something wrong with me? There is something else going on there. Or on the flip side, to kind of assess the situation of like, oh, actually, maybe I'm putting too much pressure on myself to feel like I fit in.
And the reality is it's probably somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
Being a bit for balance, you know. But I also do know what it's like being that person that just doesn't feel like I look like anyone else in the club. And to be honest, I'm still like that now, even though, you know, I've very openly on here said I've been bashed the Ozempic and stuff and lost a few stone. I still, like, I don't know, I almost feel body dysmorphic sometimes. One day I'm like, I'm looking skinny today. And then the next day I'm like, I'm such a fucking lump.
Right, okay.
I'm like, the scales are the same as yesterday, but they just look different.
It is.
And then you feel different. You feel like you don't fit in because of that.
For sure.
And like, we're all, even just then, in the show, we just took a little break before this letter and scrolling on Instagram. And I'm like to Sam, do you reckon this person's on steroids? Do you reckon this person's on steroids? And Sam's like, yep. And like, even I was at a party, this is a bit of a tangent, but I was at a party a few weeks ago, little afters, and there was like OnlyFans guy there. And he was like, and we were like, oh, are you on steroids? And he was like, no, I'm not on steroids. No, I take testosterone tablets, but that's it.
Right.
But literally was like,
it is steroids.
It's, yeah.
I'm
then people lie about how they look. So we're all, if you go on Instagram, we're just like, our feed is all people that don't look like us, and they're not even being honest about how they look like that.
For sure. Nothing, like, anything on social media is not real. I'm sorry.
I know, but it's hard to not feel real when it's there, real in your hands, you know? And then it's when they're not being honest about it. And then you go to the clubs and everyone looks like that. All the dancers in clubs are all... You never see people that look like me or you dancing in the clubs.
I've never once
paid.
No,
ever. Or on the posters that look like me and you.
No.
They're all muscle, steroids.
Yeah.
You know?
I think we should...
And it doesn't alienate people.
I've felt that 1,000,000%. Like... In certain venues, in certain places, I go in and I'm like, oh, this is not for me.
And I think maybe relating it back to this letter, that's an important thing to remember when you do feel a sense of not fitting in, that outside otherness, actually, you're not that other. You're not looking at a real situation or a real scenario. Because even when you go gay clubbing,
yeah,
and there's all them muscle Marys with the tops off and all, you know, intimidating people in there, you know, they're not real, really. I mean, they're real, they're there, but I mean, you know what I mean? They're not. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Am I making sense?
Yeah. I do think for this person, like, we put so much stress on ourselves to, for example, like you just said, go to a club and feel like we fit in. But in reality, do you actually care about the people in the room? No.
And like, they don't care about you in reality either. Yeah. That's the other thing to remind yourself, like...
So I would say...
True.
You know what I mean? I'm not trying to be me, like, but just, like, not everyone's looking at you and you're not...
And yeah, you're not on anybody's radar. Like, the reality is, when everybody's in a room in a queer space and it's full, people aren't looking, aren't singling people out, really.
And if they are, which there is probably one or two of them, they're full of their own insecurities and not ever going to be your kind of personal friend.
For sure.
So I would say, don't worry about feel like you're fitting in at a club and stuff like that. Because in reality, like, it's not a case of being at a club and someone fitting in and not fitting in. Everyone's just doing their own thing. Mm-hmm. So rather than focusing on the larger room, I'd focus on your individual friendships, build those relationships. And to be honest, those people are going to bring you up anyway and probably make you feel a bit better.
And I also think when it comes to the talking positively to yourself thing, saying you're constantly putting yourself down, I do that.
Yeah, you do.
I am the worst, my own worst critic, and I can't help it. I can't help it. I can't help it. I can't help it. Everything I do, when I'm on the radio, the first thing, my boyfriend's in the corner, what do I do when I come home? Put it back on. I put the thing back on, listen to the whole radio show, and I go, oh, that was a rubbish link. Okay, how to do that? And part of it is a good thing in my head because I'm thinking, well, I want to be the best as I can be. Mm. Whenever I do like a TV appearance, as soon as I get back to the hotel, it's on. I'm watching it. I'm picking up flaws and faults. And part of me thinks that's a good thing, but the other part of it is I sometimes go too far and I'm too tough on myself.
For sure, you are. You are.
And I think something's really shit until... I don't know. And then weeks later, go, oh, wasn't that shit?
Yeah, you are quite hard on yourself. And I think it's really hard to get out of that mentality, especially when you, like this person said, it's all they've ever known and done. He's kind of put themselves down.
But that's the same as me. It's all I've ever known and done.
I think that's just human nature. A lot of people do that.
But I think things like positive affirmations, which sounds really cheesy and like, oh my God, I'm going to recommend you get a crystal and charge it in the moonlight. I think, you know, positive affirmations and small achievable things like, do you know what? I'm going to go out on Friday to that club because it's Beyonce night and I love Beyonce or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Find something you want to go to and think, find an outfit that you love and you feel the most comfortable in. Because I'm telling you now, when my outfit is right, the night is right.
For sure.
If my outfit is wrong, my night is shit.
Yeah,
like,
for
I don't
sure.
know if anyone else is like that. But
yeah,
so,
definitely.
You know,
make yourself feel good, however that is.
Make yourself feel good, however that is. And then positive affirmations every day.
Yeah.
You are going to look sweet and sexy on Friday, baby, in the mirror. I know that's really cheesy, but I think things like that do work. It's just putting you in that positive frame of mind.
It's hard to do. I find it very difficult to do, to put yourself in the right frame of mind where you feel good, you're mentally great, and you're like, well, yes, I'm actually feeling good. I feel good. It's hard.
Good.
It's hard to do, but it's just something you've got to continually do, I think. And I'm still working on that.
And I'm still working on it. And maybe the answer is there isn't an answer to this. Mm. Maybe there isn't a black and white thing we can say, this is what you need to do. But I think just hearing that we're the same and we're not as different, and even though we appear as confident because we can speak, I was going to say eloquently on here, but we don't speak very eloquently. Sometimes that's an illusion, just like the Instagram thing's an illusion. So, you know, you're the same. as us.
Yeah.
And you're not that special and neither are we.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's something really, really too important to remember.
Yeah.
You are everyone's special, but they're also everyone's not that special, if that makes sense. Do you know what I mean? So don't overthink.
No one's better than you and you're not better than anybody else. Mm. For sure. Always remember that.
Definitely.
For sure.
It's hard to sometimes remember that. Sometimes I think I am better than people. But
I mean, it's hard. She's saying this on the same podcast as getting everyone in Wetherspoons with the two teeth. But I'll take the leaf out your book, bitch.
Yeah, for sure.
Should we move on with another one? Also, Pally, get back in touch.
Yeah.
Let us know if your, you know, positive affirmations working. And if not, you know, just leave, don't leave the house.
I'd also say, like, this might just be a bit...
I'm joking, it was joking.
It could just be a bit on the nose, but maybe just go to a counsellor as well.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, if you feel a bit shit about yourself, go to a counsellor. I've had so much counselling in my life, and that's always, like, the best I've ever felt when I'm having counselling. And I just think that's a very practical thing you can do.
Sometimes it takes a while to find a good one.
It does.
When I've had therapy, I saw one or two, and I was like, these are shit.
I've gone through two or three therapists, and I'm still on the lookout
for a good
one. Do you
remember the one that just drew a boat on the wall for you?
She was shit.
Well,
she was fucking shit.
If you want, she was shit, wasn't she? You sat, you came out with the therapy and was like, I wanted to speak about this. Ended up telling her about what something my dad did when I was about four, and then she drew a picture of a boat on the wall and me in the water.
It was so weird. It was the worst therapy session I ever had, and she took 50 quid off me.
But what I will say, like, finding a therapist is a lot like finding a partner. You're not going to get it on the first date. You have to go through quite a few.
Yeah.
But there is something called the LGBT Foundation, which I believe is based in Manchester. And actually, last time I went through a batch of therapy, it was with them. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Can't remember. Well, you're not allowed to meet your therapist, but you got on great. But I'd recommend that.
And also, you get three therapy sessions from them.
Yeah, they offer three.
Yeah, it actually doesn't cost you LGBT Foundation. If you're part of the queer community, check them out. And if you want your therapy through them, there is quite a long waiting list, but we all need therapy, darling. We all need a bit of therapy.
We're going to move on now.
We are going to move
on. Before anyone recommends I get therapy and I'm triggered.
Billy, you've got the next story, actually.
Oh, it's me. So this is from Danny, he, him, age 25.
Sorry, girls, it's me.
Hi, Gossip Days. I've been dating a guy for 4 months and I really like him. We have started making plans month in advance, which I see as a green flag, and also a commitment to me, but I really want to ask him to be my boyfriend.
Aww.
I've never had one before, and I'd be so proud to call him my partner. But the problem is, his family are homophobic. My bitch is gay. I'm trying to say that. And I know he's scared of his family finding out. He does basically already feel like my boyfriend, but the commitment and label would mean so much to me. Am I being selfish for wanting that? Your help would be amazing. Love you guys.
First off, I want to, off the straight out the gate, no, you're not selfish for wanting that.
You're not selfish. No.
That's an okay thing to want.
Why do you think people want the label of boyfriend?
Security for yourself, yeah. It's security.
And to know that they feel the same way about you as you do that.
Yeah, so it's sort of like
it reinforces the relationship.
Yeah.
It feels like it's a bit more of a commitment than just dating.
Yeah.
I also know when you're dating other people, that sometimes means you're seeing or sleeping with other people, and you might just want to commit to that one person and know that they want all of that back.
Yeah, and it also feels like you've got a future with them. Like something's happening here.
Yeah.
It is a nice feeling.
All of that is an okay thing to want.
Absolutely.
After 4 months. If it feels right, it feels right.
Yeah.
Some people will be like, no, wouldn't go that way until it was 6 months. But I'm like, I hate people who have black and white rules for life that isn't black and white.
For sure.
And not every relationship's black and white.
And feelings are not black and white.
Feelings are fucking Technicolor, baby.
Yeah, Technicolor. Absolutely.
I kind of relate to this there a little bit. Just a little bit.
Go on.
Because, obviously...
Is it in French?
Chris, my boyfriend from France.
Yeah.
Well, France is a... I was actually thinking about this morning, which is strange. France is a very different country when it comes to homosexuality. No, but their attitudes...
They eat snails and frogs.
the attitudes towards homosexuality over there is very much like, you can exist, but you can't be seen.
Right.
So when I first started dating Chris, that was very hard, because when we were in France, it was almost, well, we couldn't really be seen. Do you know what I mean? He was very scared of anyone
showing affection.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah,
publicly in the street.
Yeah, but also, like, the attitude very much was like, well, if someone is walking down the street and they look gay and they get hate crime, essentially, that's their fault for looking gay.
Oh, what? Right. So that's the attitude.
I didn't know it was like that in French. I thought everyone was like, what?
Not in Paris, because Paris, like most capital cities, are very different, way more liberal. But other parts of France, like, yeah, the attitude is very much like, well, if you walk down the street like that, don't be surprised if someone kicks off at you. So I've had this kind of thing that I've been battling recently of like, shit, like, it's very hard when we go over there. But at the same time, like, if you want to be with someone, you do want to be with someone. Like, there's not a right and wrong answer to it. Mm. It's quite hard. I think for this listener in particular, it's different because it's like their family in particular.
Yeah, that's so the big thing here.
The boyfriend has quite a lot to navigate himself there, because I'm assuming he hasn't come out to his family.
I don't know if he's come out. They've not said there, because I was thinking, like, well, regardless if they're homophobic or not, the son's still
But he's
gay.
Scared of his family finding out, I think, that. It would mean finding out he was gay.
Okay.
I assume that from the letter, but anyway.
So then why would a label make it any different?
Well, it wouldn't, but this is what I wanted to say. It is just because he's in a relationship with you should never force him to come out to anyone.
Yeah.
It's up to him when he wants to come out. He might have five more fucking boyfriends and a husband by the time he comes out to his family, if he wanted to.
For sure.
Mm. Hopefully he won't, and you two will be together and it will be all lovely and you'll get everything you want.
Yeah.
But I also think, you know, as an honest conversation with, I feel like this, how do you feel? Okay, is there anything holding you back? And if it's the family thing, I think it would be fair to say, I understand you'd want to tell your family if you've got a partner.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't stop. If you do want to be with me, you shouldn't stop being with me because that means you have to tell your family, because that's a rule. That's a wall you've built in your head that doesn't actually exist.
Mm-hmm.
You could be with me if you want and still not tell your family.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm. And then you could navigate that together.
Well, they technically are now.
Exactly.
You're basically boyfriends now. You're just not labelled it, aren't you?
Yeah.
But you're making all these plans. Mm. So you are a secret boyfriend currently still. So whether you call each other boyfriend or not, it's actually not going to change with the family. So I think you just need to disregard that.
But it's easy
I mean?
For this person to disregard, and obviously not the one with the homophobic family, okay, which is what's holding the one with the homophobic family back.
Right.
You definitely need to have like an open and honest conversation with your potential boyfriend.
Yeah.
And I think you just have to prepare yourself for him to either say that he's not comfortable having a boyfriend yet, or that you would have to be a secret. I think you have to prepare yourself for those outcomes if you're going to have that conversation.
I mean, the worst thing for somebody to say is, will you be my boyfriend? And they say no. Like that would be heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And that is also like an anxiety I think everybody has when they say, do you want to label it? Like that. Mm. Like, I'm sure everybody's had that anxiety in the past.
The worst.
Yeah. Scary.
Mm.
Terrifying. But it's not the end of the world.
It's not the end of the world, no.
And you'll laugh at it in 6 months when you're all happy and fine. Or, you know, you prepare yourself for the worst and then you're not as hurt. But, you know, you've got to live your life and enjoy it. I hate anyone that lives a life in these anxious limbos.
Mm.
It's hell. It's mental torture. And these walls people put up in their own heads that don't exist.
They're not there.
If you're happy together and you're being, and it's working,
yeah,
you should both be able to progress. But you need to have that honest and open combo with him.
I think they have sound advice there.
I do.
Brilliant.
Who have you got to speak to, Billy?
About what?
Have you done your letter?
I've done my letter.
Oh, is that your letter?
Oh, this is your letter.
Why did I think that was my letter?
I don't know.
But you know what? You said it so convincingly. I was like, yeah Billy's next.
You were with me.
I was all in it, yeah.
Hang on.
You've got
this
quite a long
one is from Sam Bailey. No, Sam and Billy.
Sam Bailey's written it. Yeah. She does me every so often.
How Simon Cowell is stealing my wages. Sam.
Hello.
No, different Sam.
Okay.
This Sam's written in and he's a he, they. 16. And they have written, hi guys, a bit of a more serious one here.
Ooh,
how fucking serious can we get
today? We've been serious today already.
But I could really do with some advice.
Okay.
A couple of months ago, I overheard some transphobic comments made about me by a group of girls at school. Bit of background, I go to an all-girls school, so being trans mask is a pretty big deal. As well as this, I had been selected to be part of our school's senior team, deputy house captain.
Good on you.
Mm.
What's that?
I don't know, but it sounds important.
Like
the deputy to the house captain. Yeah.
To the house mother. To the mother of the house.
To the mother of the house.
There's a house captain, and then I'm assuming there'll be a deputy house captain.
Of course, you would know that going to boarding school. Which seems to be the catalyst for comments made. Anyways, someone suggested to me that I did something at school for Trans Visibility Day to raise awareness, as when I brought the comments up, I was told to ignore them as they should pass. Whoever gave you that advice, and especially if it was a teacher, is a fucking prick. Can I say that? I just said it.
Yeah, you said it.
That's not very tough good advice. Toughen it up. Where's her? Me and my friends worked really hard to come up with the ideas to raise money for trans charities, as well as raising awareness at the same time. We spoke to our head teacher about this, and he said he supported me in principle, but made lots of excuses to avoid making it happen. Like saying it was last minute, but I've done something very similar for International Women's Day, last minute. And I'd gone to him in more advance than that.
Right.
He said he still wants a meeting to discuss, and this kind of is where the dilemma comes in. I struggle to stay calm in situations I feel passionate about, and even if I think I'm calmly, my tone is often misread too. I don't want to cause myself any problems because I've got upset at something that's said. My mum suggested that I don't go at all, since he's already said no, so there's no point. What should I do, as I think both me and my friends are at a loss right now? Thank you very much.
Difficult letter.
Very difficult letter.
Somebody who's 16 actually has written in. That's probably, they're in high school.
They're in high school.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm not going to lie, I would never think of my audience for this show to be 16 for some of the things that we speak about.
No.
Very 18 rated. But I'm going to talk to this person.
For sure.
I think what your mum's doing by saying don't go is doing what all good mums do when they're trying to protect the child.
1,000,000%. Mm.
She doesn't want you to be upset. She doesn't want you to be hurt. And she knows how passionate you are about it.
Mm-hmm.
I also know what I don't know, but I can empathise with you that you want to feel like you're doing something, to feel like you're raising awareness and to say something and put something out there. But I also feel like there's battles to be picked.
Yeah.
And I also feel like you're 16, you're navigating school as trans mask in an all-female school. You're already doing enough.
For sure.
And actually just existing and being you and being happy.
Yeah.
Is actually, you're probably under appreciating how much that actually alone is doing.
1,000,000%.
You being a happy, nice person, easy to get on with and friendly and not a dick.
Yeah.
Is raising just enough awareness so that someone else in your school go home and someone's parent might make a transphobic comment and they'll go, actually, there's a trans lad in my school and he's lovely.
For sure.
Those conversations that are happening around you existing, which is sounds awful, but right now more people know about trans people than know trans people. You kind of are doing enough, and sometimes I think if you want to put yourself out there a little extra, you're kind of getting hit back. Am I making sense? It's kind of you're putting yourself out there more so. I don't want you to get more of a backlash and be caused more upset because you've got a whole life ahead of you and you're only young.
For sure.
That said, I also know that you've got a passion in you that you want to be able to say, I've got a voice and hear what I've got to say and feel like you're doing a good thing and making a difference.
Yeah.
But I also don't think you need to fully overcomplicate it. And I want you to know just being you and living and loving and having this amazing support network of friends around you in school is probably doing a lot of what you don't realise you want to be doing already.
Yeah, exactly. It's already doing it. Being out and proud and... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, would you agree?
I'd agree.
I am struggling with the... Because obviously the Trans Day of Visibility to raise awareness for that is something that I think we all should be passionate about, especially within the queer community. But putting myself back in high school and trying to do that, I don't think I'd be able to. I think I'd be too scared to do that. I'd take my hat off to you for already going to your head teacher about this. Mm. I think the head teacher is putting a stop to it because they don't want to cause...
If I'm honest, what I think the head teacher's doing is shit scared that they do something and get a backlash from parents.
Exactly my point.
Wants to look like the support and you, but doesn't have the actual fucking backbone to actually
don't
support
you. Don't have
the
balls you. To do it, yeah.
Don't have the balls to because they're worried about what the parents will say, because, which is not activism.
Exactly. Because there is such a political thing in the air about trans in general at the minute in the UK.
They don't want a backlash. They don't want any backlash. Parents coming in, well, actually, no, and making a situation possibly worse for you.
Yeah. And I think maybe, I don't know if I want to say that, but maybe the head teacher is doing you a favour and saving you a headache there. Is that right to say or not?
I mean, it's hard to say because we don't know what the reaction would be from parents and other people. And I think it's a shit situation to be in.
For sure.
But you're also 16.
Yeah.
You've got the world and your life ahead of you and you're already doing amazing, sweetie.
Exactly.
My boyfriend's in the corner. What were you going to say? Put your hand up.
I think she should go back and see their teacher. Or they should go back. Well, there's a presentation with facts and statistics to show the head teacher why we need to do a trans awareness day.
You think they should go back?
I agree with everything you guys have said, but I was going to say the same thing as well. I think you may as well go back to the head teacher because the head teacher said that they want to have that chat anyway. I would say go back, just don't have your heart set on certain outcomes. I think go back, have the honest conversation. They've said that he said that he agreed in principle.
Yeah.
I would just challenge that and say, well, if you agree in principle, why can't we do this?
Yeah.
I would also just say, like, look, this is my experience as a trans person. When you've said that you've had these, like, nasty comments and that you've been told to basically, like, ignore them, because that's not right. And that is being like complacent.
I feel like I'm just doing that motherly thing of trying to protect them.
Yeah. I would go to the head teacher, I'd have that honest conversation, say, yeah, well, this has happened, and like it is complacency, and things can't get with complacency, and just have that honest conversation.
And actually, yeah, I think having it written down, whether it's a PowerPoint presentation, whether it's in note form, everything you want to say, cool, calm, collected, deep breaths. Don't go in expecting an outcome, like Sam said. Go in probably expecting the worst. Expect that they're not going to.
Yeah.
But at least go in and let them hear you out. Let the head teacher hear what you've got to say.
For sure.
And see what it becomes. I mean, it's a really tricky one, but, and I keep coming back to it, but you're 16. You've got a life ahead of you. I just want you to be able to navigate this school experience and whatever else you go on to do next and have the best experience it can be for you. Because I hated school.
Yeah, you
did
hate school.
My first school, I couldn't wait to get out of. I hated every single day, was bullied every single day for being gay.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine what you're going through right now.
Yeah.
So I don't want it to be any worse than it needs to be for you. There'll be plenty more trans days of visibility that you can get right behind.
For sure.
Other different charities, other causes, and make your mark.
Yeah.
I suppose it comes down to that saying of pick your battles. And right now, there might actually be too much against you, which will piss you off, make you feel shit, but you can come back stronger, harder, faster for another cause at the right time where you're going to be supported. And doing it, sometimes doing it in a chamber of hate is not that your school is a chamber of hate, but you know what I mean? Sometimes it's, you're making it worse. But I actually don't think it's a bad idea to go back to the head teacher, speak to them, but you need to remain cool and calm, because I think as soon as you lose your rag,
that's it.
They use that against you.
They use it
against you.
Well, just so you know, we're proud of you.
Yeah,
we are.
100%.
We
are. I think it's incredible.
Yeah, and failing that, start a dirty protest. Shit in the head teacher's sandwich.
Perfect. Absolutely flawless advice. Well, look, that's our three letters.
Yeah.
Who would you like to crown Gossip Goddess or the Question Queen of the week?
It's got to be the last letter for me. I'm sorry.
I think that's such like an amazing story, regardless of like what happens next.
Yeah.
Just hearing about this trans man person in an all-girl school just being themselves and sticking up for their existence and all trans people around them. Yeah. I love that. I
think in a time when it's very difficult to be a trans person.
I
right
know
now.
What's really poignant to me in that letter was me and my friends, and like they just have, to
yeah,
know.
Friends.
I know it's awful to say, but just to know you've got that little support network of friends in school.
Yeah.
I love, because my first school, I didn't have that. I felt so alone. So I'm so glad that you don't have that loneliness feeling as well.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I wasn't living authentically when I was 16. Like, at all.
Yeah.
I think it's incredible.
Yeah.
Good for you, babe.
Love, yeah. Well, there you go. You're our Gossip Goddess of the week. Thank you, Sam. Was it? Sam,
yes,
was the 16-year-old person.
Sam was a 16-year-old person.
Now, God, what a day.
What a day, what a dollar.
Yeah.
What a dime.
We've loved today. We actually had some technical issues before, but
we actually have been in the studio 67 hours. Like, I've aged.
We're about to hit 250 episodes, and someone's actively trying to stop it.
For sure.
Sabotage.
Someone's trying to make sure we don't hit 250, but we will.
We will. We will get there. Join us next Thursday for our 250th episode. But we've got a Brucey bonus episode on Monday. So, yeah. So, Elsa, say or do?
Well, just if you want to get in touch with the podcast, all that.
All right, let's do that then. My iPad's not working now. So if you want to get in contact with the Gossip Gays, that's us. Check out this episode's description where you can WhatsApp us, voice note us, you can text us, you can fill out our form, or you can DM us on Instagram at Gossip Gays Pod. Don't forget to give us a 5-star glowing review, and we'll be back on Monday with a Brucey Boner.
You remembered all that off the top of your head, and if you wanted to disguise your voice,
we can.
We can. There we go. Cheers, mate. See you on Monday.
Bye.
Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.